take the battery out of the clock back there. For y'all that haven't heard me before, I sometimes have a tendency to get just a little bit longer. So I do enjoy talking about the scriptures. I've said it many times before. Dale keeps having me up here, and I, one of these days he's not making me a preacher, but I don't consider myself that. I just like to teach. I like to talk about the Word of God and help us to all learn from it and be strengthened from it, because there's hope within its pages, within the pages of the scriptures. And that's why we do the things that we do. And that's primarily, and I'm going to start each one of my lessons during this gospel meeting with why I put together the theme that I did, and that's to the Word. And the reason being, as you see this morning, as Dale mentioned, of course this is Sunday morning, a little different. There are many folks that are worshiping with their home congregations. But I've been to a lot of gospel meetings, and you always look out into the crowd, and they always recognize the Disney preachers or those from the Disney congregations. But many times, those of your number and those that are visiting from other congregations, that's all that are in our audience. And that's the only people that we're reaching. We're reaching those that are already interested in God. And the church, as we discussed this morning, is drying up in a lot of places. There are a lot of smaller congregations that thrived years ago that are drying up. You don't have as many young people. There are fewer people with interest in God's Word. And that a lot of that falls back on the people, but a lot of that falls back on us and our responsibility to go beyond these doors. You know, we always make it a point to be at every assembly. As soon as those doors are open, we walk in and we're here and we're prepared and we're ready to go. But we've got to take it beyond the doors. We've got to beat the bushes. And we're going to talk about that this week a little bit. And with that understanding, too, that the world just doesn't want to hear anymore. And so there's a sad truth about that. We'll talk about that tonight, the sad truth about going and doing the Word. Because there are just people who don't want to hear. But that doesn't absolve us of our responsibility to do that. So we start everything this morning based on the fact that we are sent to the work. The work must be done. It's not optional. It's not for the preachers. It's not for the elders or the deacons. It's for every one of us individually. We're responsible for taking the Word and the gospel to others. We're not going to be judged on the fact that we converted thousands or hundreds or one or two. We went and we did the work to the Father. And that's what we're commanded to do. God gives the increase. So we're going to start our lesson this morning. If you'd like to follow along, Isaiah chapter 5 says it so plainly in verse 13. It says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst." You know, that brings up an idea of what's happening in the world today. People aren't thirsting for knowledge. And then we've got so many in the world today, you see a church on every corner. And we've got so many that have a lack of knowledge, a lack of understanding, because there are enough of those that will teach or try to reason from the Scriptures. And that's really what we have to do, is reason from the Scriptures. Because if we'll do that, God will never contradict Himself. There is only one way to go through it. There's only one way to understand it and to comprehend it. Rightly dividing this Word of truth. There's only one Word of God, and that is the Bible that we have. If we rightly divide that, it will never contradict itself. But Isaiah, being the writer then, to the southern kingdom of Judah, in the days after the kingdom was divided, and we see the struggles, and we understand the period of time, the struggles, and everything that's going on with Israel. During this period of time, Israel goes off into captivity. They're taken into captivity. Why? Well, we're told in Hosea, who is writing about this northern kingdom, "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of the heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to thee, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. So you see then, this land, this northern tribes being taken, the northern 10 tribes, they're going to be taken into captivity for these very reasons. And they are professing to be godly people. They're worshiping, they're doing their sacrifices, but they're perverting the scriptures. And in many cases, as we see here, they're not even doing that. They're killing, they're lying, they're stealing, they're swearing. But even their priests will be taken into that same captivity because of that lack of knowledge and teaching and leading and guiding the people. And so they're destroyed for lack of knowledge, or they're rejecting knowledge. Now again, let's take that in terms of today. We have people that will be, on that day of judgment, unfortunately, destroyed for the lack of that knowledge, not thirsting after that knowledge. And even when, in this life, the gospel is taken to them, they willfully reject that knowledge, not wanting to have anything to do with the church or with God, or trying to learn. That's what that thirst for knowledge means. We know that there's a God, and there are so many people in the world today that would reject the idea of God, but then there are so many in the world today that accept the idea of God, but reject that knowledge about that God. They don't want to know or understand because it might tell them that there's something in their life that's wrong or that is amiss. So we see then Hosea writing to the northern tribe and Isaiah being a writer to the southern tribes. God is wanting to send Isaiah to warn these southern tribes. Don't be like the northern tribes. Don't go down that same path that they're going to be going down, that they go down, going into that captivity. So in Isaiah chapter 6, the beginning of Isaiah's call, we look at starting at verse 8. It says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" So God is saying, who can I send to these people? Who's going to be my messenger? Who's going to go? Who's going to go? Then said I, this is Isaiah speaking, "Here am I, send me." Do we have that attitude? Here am I, send me. I want to be the one that goes and warns these people, that tries to bring these people and keep them out of that captivity. Sin is, we're captive to our sins in our lives. Then reading further, having an understanding of what is he supposed to go and do. Verse 9 says, he said, "Go and tell this people." Go tell this people. "Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the hearts of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." Now, let's not misunderstand this verse here. God, in his knowledge and understanding, knowing Isaiah is going to go to these people, and these people are going to, they're going to reject Isaiah. And they're going to harden their hearts, and they're going to reject God. So he's not telling Isaiah to go and make the heart of this people and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes. He's saying that when you go, when you proclaim this, when you warn these people, they will shut their eyes. They will close their ears. They will reject that message. And we know and understand from the scriptures that is exactly what happened. And that the southern tribes were also taken into captivity. But the latter part of verse 10, "lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." This is the reason for sending, for going, for warning the people. These people are living an ungodly lifestyle. The world that we live in today is living an ungodly lifestyle. God is not willing that any should perish, and so God sends. God wants those to go out and to spread that gospel, spread that good news, that message of hope that we have only in and through Christ. But somebody's got to go and warn the people. So this situation that we're talking about here, during this period of time, mirrors exactly what we see today and will be throughout time. There are always those that need to hear. There will always be those that will be living in worldly lusts. And there will always be a need for the laborers and the vineyard, or for those to go and to warn the people. We are sent that others might hear. We're told that in Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 6. "But the righteousness which is of faith, spoken on this wise, say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven?" That is to bring Christ down from above. Who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now, I want to put this Romans chapter 10 in a little bit of context right here, too. If you'll go back to the beginning of this chapter, I think in the latter part of chapter 9, but at the beginning of this chapter, my hope and prayer for Israel is that they all might be saved. Paul is writing to the Romans about Israel. What did Israel reject? The very thing that could save them, Christ. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? They were talking about Christ. How shall they call on the name of the Lord, calling on the name of Christ, to cleanse them, to save them, when they do not believe in the power that Christ had? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? But then, he also says, on in those chapters, but have they not all obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then, let me turn to that passage of scripture, because I want to read some more there. If you will, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. We'll go down to, I believe, starting at verse 18 there. And it's a continuation of that very same thought. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. And by a foolish nation I will anger you. But the Messiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that asked not of me. But to Israel all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So again, I want to keep that in context, right? There's not a misunderstanding. He's talking about rejecting the knowledge and understanding of Christ through Christ, whom all men are saved by that precious blood on the cross. But how can men believe in something that they haven't heard? How can men receive that salvation from something that they haven't come in contact with, that blood of Christ? How can they understand any of this unless someone takes that gospel message to them? Israel did hear. Israel did reject. And so what happened? Paul then became a preacher to the Gentiles, that people of whom that he talked about did not seek after him. Not the people of God, the chosen people of God, like Israel, that rejected that and rejected the very thing that they were told about throughout the Old Testament scriptures, throughout the prophets, telling them of the day that was coming, the day that they were all still looking for, yet they rejected. So the world we have today, for those that do believe in God, looking for that great day when they can go to heaven, but rejecting the very knowledge and understanding of what the scriptures tell them, lead them, and guide them to. Just like Israel rejected the very things that were right there before them that they had been in contact with all their lives. So we have two challenges. We have a challenge to take the gospel to those that have heard, as Israel did, and are still looking for something completely different from what the message is that God has given and has intended. Then we have those that just purely and solely reject God. The acceptance of God, the acceptance to be a religious person. So we have to take that message, and then we have to take it to the people out into the world. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and following. Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Why? Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. No one to guide them. No one to lead them. How shall they believe without a preacher? They have to be sent to preach the gospel. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Laborers. And we're going to touch on some other verses as we get into this morning, but too many times we read over this in the scriptures, and it's throughout the scriptures, Christ in the gospels, leading and guiding his apostles, preparing them for that day. We're going to talk about that preparation tonight. Preparing them for that day when they would have to go and they would have to teach. And then we have the Great Commission being given. Go ye into all the world, talking to his apostles. And so many people want to believe, well, he's just talking about a specific group of people. We're going to follow these scriptures this morning and show we are a part of that group of people. It's not just the responsibility of certain individuals. Every Christian has that responsibility. So what are some of the reasons and some of the examples we have in the scriptures of why some of these people felt like they couldn't go? And I promise you, these are the same kind of messages that we as individuals today are these kind of excuses that we would make about why we can't go, or why we can't do these things. You see, Moses in Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 10, "Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, thou mayest bring forth my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage." Isn't that an interesting example right there? Bring my people out of bondage. When we take the gospel message to others, are we not bringing them out or trying to bring them out of bondage of sin? And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go? That I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? I'm a nobody." No, you are a chosen vessel of God, just like we all are. And then further down in chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto me, unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." Slow of speech and slow of tongue. I'm not a great speaker. I can't do these things. I can't go send this message to the other people. God gives us what we need to say. Gives it to us right here. Paul, when he went into the synagogue, we are told Paul reasoned with them from the scriptures. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly, completely furnished unto every good work. Folks, we've got nothing like it. We have everything that we need, and God will give us in that day if we do our part. If we do our due diligence in educating ourselves, God will give us everything that we need to prepare us to take that message out there. Now, if I'm slow and not very eloquent of speech, the scriptures can speak for me. I can open the scriptures and I can say, what does that say? If I know and I have that knowledge, what I'm saying, the Bible speaks. As I stand here this morning, it should be the Bible speaking. Which is why I try to use a lot of scripture in my lesson. Because it should not be me that's speaking. It should be the Bible speaking through me. Nothing more, nothing less. God gave us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's nothing like it. Acts chapter 7, starting at verse 34. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. And I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge?" The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Who made thee a ruler and a judge? And that was what the people told Moses, wasn't it? Who are you that you're coming and telling us these things? And Moses, God giving him the power, showing the people that he had that power from God, helping them to understand that he was a messenger from God to deliver them so that they would follow him. And as we all know, as we've studied the scriptures, isn't it a shame? All the miracles that were performed before they came out of Egypt, immediately following that time they came out of Egypt, and during all that time they wandered in the wilderness, yet they were still unthankful. Yet they were still unthankful. Knowing the power of their God, knowing how he delivered them, knowing how he left them to want for nothing while they were in the wilderness. For a long time, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Oh, we had it much easier there. They worried about those things that they couldn't see in the wilderness, yet God provided. God provided, and He will provide. Just like when we take this gospel message out to the world and we worry about what we're going to say, God will provide. How do we know this? Well, how did God answer Moses when Moses questioned Him on these things? Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. We read this earlier. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And He said, certainly, be certain, absolutely, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the children, or the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Then Exodus chapter 4 that we read just a few seconds ago, and then continuing that same thought in God's answer to Moses there. Moses said unto the Lord, I'm not eloquent of there, neither therefore have, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who made man's mouth? Or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou should say. God gave him assurances. Did Moses ever have to lack for that understanding or for that knowledge or what he should say? I think if we go back and read and study the scriptures, when Moses was faced with these challenges, he'd go to his God in prayer, God leading him and guiding him, and he was a great leader of the people. God fulfills His promises. And He said, Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. He's even backing down and says, send somebody else. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And He said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. Now God is communicating to these people at this point in time. God communicates to us today, right here. He will be with us. He has given us what our mouths should say and what we should do. And He certainly will be with us. And we can see that through all the examples that He has given us in the Scriptures. The Bible is definitely the Word of God. And God speaks to us today through that. And we know this in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the Spirit, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His dear Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. And then in John chapter 12, 48, Christ tells us, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in that last day. So here we see, God's going to send this, speak to us through His Son. We're told that in Hebrews. Here in John, Christ tells us the word that He has spoken is going to be what we're going to be judged by on that last day. But listen to this, verse 49. We always remember that verse. We many times overlook verse 49. I have not spoken of myself. And this is Christ speaking. I have not spoken of myself. The Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak, the Word of God. Christ spoke to men. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Talking to the apostles, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. He gave them, at that point in time, the gift of the Spirit. Now let's make sure we clearly understand this. At that point in time, the Scriptures that we have in the teaching and the preaching of the gospel of Christ were not in written form. Why? Because they were given to these men that put them in written form. Christ telling them that He would give them the gift of that Spirit that would bring to their remembrance all things whatsoever He had commanded them. So He gave them that Spirit so that they could recall the things that Christ had taught them Christ teaching them the words of the Father. Then they wrote those things down. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Spirit. They wrote those things down, and we have it now in its complete form. Nothing lacking right here in the Word of God that can and will and does, if we do our due diligence, give us in that hour when we need it, when we need that ability to recall it, it will give us in that hour what we should say and what we should speak. John chapter 14, verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear not. The Spirit is with us today in the form of the Word. We quoted this verse earlier, and I use this verse so much because it is so very true and it is applicable in every instance. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We can always fall back on that one verse right there. That one verse. All the works that we are needing to do in this life to be pleasing and acceptable to God. That's not only just going out and sending the Word of God. That's living a faithful and righteous life. That's everything we need to know to be faithful to God and to be chosen, accepted of Him on that last day. In that passage of Scripture right there. All Scripture. Now, did he say just some Scripture? In other words, we can leave this part out and we can just look at this part. It all ties together, folks, and it will never contradict itself. Which is how we can reason from the Scriptures and gain that understanding that we need, rightly dividing that word of truth. That will then allow us to go out and take that gospel message to others because we know that gospel message. And I challenge each of you this morning that's here, open your Bibles. Be noble as the Bereans were. I'm up here, I'm giving you a lot of words, and I'm speaking to you. I'm hoping that I'm speaking from the Scripture. But you know what? Your salvation depends on you checking that out. What if I'm wrong? Now, I would never intentionally do that. And that's why, like I said, I try to go back to the Scriptures and use only the Scriptures to lead me and to guide me. But throughout the world today, there are those standing in pulpits throughout the world leading those lost sheep, misleading them, misguiding them, and they take every word as the pure, sincere gospel, never checking it out. How many people will lose their souls because they put their faith in the man giving the message rather than the actual message giver, God? It's our responsibility to know those things. And if we know those things because we're checking out and ensuring our own salvation, then could we not also take that same message out into the world and be prepared and have that knowledge and have that understanding? I would say Moses probably overcame his fears, didn't he? Paul had fears. The same thing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. Again, not his words, but what was given him. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul had that same spirit. Again, remembering these things were not written down. Now, I will also say this. There were scriptures that were written during that period of time, and these men did rely very heavily on those scriptures. What were those scriptures? Those same scriptures proving Christ. Proving that He was the coming Messiah. He was the Son of God. And the proofs that were left throughout the Old Testament through the prophets. Once they got to that point, then it became teaching the gospel of Christ, the message of Christ that was left from that point forward. Those are the things that were not written down, but proving Christ, which was there. And you look back at the day of Pentecost, and you look at Stephen when he did his message. What did they do? They went back and they talked about the prophets, the forefathers, the message that was sent before, using those things. So it's all Scripture, as we're told, as we mentioned in Timothy. It's not just the New Testament Scripture. And yes, we are known as the New Testament Church because absolutely salvation lies within that New Testament. But understanding and applying that New Testament, we also have to lean back on that Old Testament Scripture to gain that understanding. Because everything you're going to see in the Old Testament is a physical representation of something very spiritual in the New Testament. That blood that was shed, the Passover lamb, death passing over, Christ being our Passover lamb. All those, so many examples were there. Howbeit, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Ye, perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Speaking the word of God, leading and guiding them. And they had the Spirit to lead them and guide them until that which was perfect, which was come. The role of the Spirit that was given during that period of time is now gone away. We have from the Scriptures, and this is a little additional part of this lesson, which wasn't part of it, but that understanding of the job of the Spirit, leading and guiding these men. Also understanding that the only way that Spirit was imparted to other men was by the laying on of hands. And it could not be, that laying on of hands could only come from those apostles. Not from those that they laid hands on. So folks, the apostles are dead and gone. There's no more laying on of hands, imparting that Spirit. So once that was gone, that imparting of that Spirit was no longer given. The men following could not do that. But what it did do, and it served its purpose, it gave them power to heal and power to perform these miracles, validating their authority from God. So once then the people understood that they had the authority and that they were sent from God, then the people would hear and take heed and pay attention to the message that they were sent. The Spirit then added that role to these same men, calling to their remembrance all the things that Christ had taught them. Now we're told in the Scriptures there's many, many more works that Christ did that are not included. John tells us this, that are not included in the Scriptures. But what we have is that we might believe. We have enough. We have enough. We don't know all the things. You know, your Bibles have the red text where Christ is speaking. We don't have every word spoken by Christ. But we know He taught these men. We know He educated these men. We know these men wrote these things down that we have today in the Scriptures to lead us and to guide us. There's no question. We've just gone through several verses that show us and absolutely prove it. So then, understanding this now, going back to what we talked about and what I mentioned earlier. So far, we talked about the apostles. You know, they were sent. Go ye into all the world and teach them, preach the gospel. Giving that message to them, what about us? What about us? That message was given to these men. Wasn't given to us. And then Paul also receiving that thing, same thing. Paul said himself, he didn't receive those things from man, he received those things from Christ. So what is our responsibility? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 8. Talking about the Ethiopian eunuch here, the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch of Philip. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south. Under the way that goeth down to Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. And he rose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read aside the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip, listen to this. What did Philip do? Did he basically just slowly make his way down there? Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said unto him, understandest thou what thou readest? How can I accept some man guide me? Just like the apostles needed help, they needed that guidance. We need it. And so Philip then proceeded to talk to him about Jesus. And in talking about Jesus, what was the end result? Now, do we have that whole conversation here? No, we don't. We just know he preached unto him Jesus. And at the end of this, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Somewhere in that teaching, somewhere, Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch the necessity of baptism, coming in contact with that precious blood of Christ through the watery grave of baptism. And he says, what hinders me to be baptized? And he went down into the water, and he was baptized, and he came up rejoicing. Philip went on his way. His job was finished there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. This is Paul speaking to faithful Timothy. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Folks, it's a continuous cycle. The same, and listen to this. Christ got it from God. Going back to what we said earlier, Christ got it from God. Christ gave it to these men. Where did Paul say he got it from? Flesh and blood, man did not give those things to him. He received it from Christ. The same as the apostles. And now he has the Spirit bringing to his remembrance those things. And now he's telling young Timothy, what you have heard from me, the same commit to faithful men. Commit that same message to others. You see the process here? It's a continual process. We today pass that along. We had it passed along to us. We continue to pass that along to others. And we pass that along to others, they shall be able to teach others also. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as every man receiveth the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are stewards of the gospel. It's our responsibility to continue that, because if we don't, what happens if everybody ceases to go to church? The knowledge is going to cease. God's not going to let that happen. We're all sent. We all have a responsibility to go. 1 Thessalonians, I can't remember, I didn't write it down. 1 or 2 Thessalonians 2:4, please check me on that. As we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Folks, we have been put in trust with the gospel. And so commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, that the gospel will continue, that same precious message will go out into the world. We have everything that we need to go. There shouldn't be any excuses. God has given us the strength and the power and the ability to do these things through the Spirit that we have today through the Word of God. And He challenges us each one to go. There's nothing lacking except one thing. Us. Our willingness to go. So how will we respond here? You know, who will go for us? Who can I send? As God asked Isaiah. How will we respond? I can't. I'm not eloquent of speech. Not learning the scriptures. I can't do it. I can't talk to people. I can't do these things. Are we going to stand up and say, here I am. Here am I. Send me. Pick me. Let me go. I want that responsibility, because not only do I want to save myself, I want to take somebody with me. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If we don't want to perish, we shouldn't want that anyone else would perish again. All right, I think my little bell, I think my time is up this morning. So we will finish with that. And our next message this morning will be the sad truth of the gospel. And we know we're sent, and we'll learn some more about that.